Our Father in heaven, I thank you for the opportunity to study once again. And we pray that as we talk about practical things of how to do church work and how to get the church on fire, that you will inspire us and that it will be a fire that can also spread in the churches where we go. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. How to get your church on fire. Well, the first step in getting your church on fire is to be on fire yourself. Amen. You cannot hope to accomplish anything by just complaining, oh, I wish the church was on fire, I wish the church did this, I wish the church did that. You yourself need to have experienced the love of God in your life and be inspired to share this with others. So that is the very first step. In education, page 262, Ellen White says, success in any line demands a definite aim. He who would achieve true success in life must keep steadily in view the aim worthy of his endeavor. And then it says, such an aim is set before the youth of today. The heaven-appointed purpose of giving the gospel to the world in this generation is the noblest that can appeal to any human being. If we have this vision, yes, we want to spread the gospel to the world. And that's what we're here for. We're not here just to criticize each other or to sit in the church pew, but we are actually on fire for being missionaries ourselves. Then we can have a hope in getting our church on fire. Pray to the Lord. How shall I do things? The second aspect of how to get your church on fire is to find friends that in the church that are on fire. And some people might say, well, there's no one. I don't believe that. I believe that there are some people. Always, in every church, there are some people who have not bowed the knee to Baal, so to say. You understand? I'm not saying that the others have, but we are... Some of them have, yeah. But It is actually a fact that Elijah, he thought he was all alone, remember? He thought that, oh, I'm all alone. And no, all of Israel have apostatized. And then God said, I have 7,000 in Israel that have not bowed the knee to Baal. So I know that there are people there. Even in your church, I believe that there is more than one person that is interested in doing mission for real. And find these people. You don't need to be perfectly in agreeing with everything that they say, but just if they have a passion for soul winning, team up with them. Say, let's do something. Let's do something for real with this church. And what you do then is that you start or join a mission team. Now, what is a mission team? A mission team, I'll read from this. This segment here. One important way to activate church members is to start a mission team. The church board has often too many responsibilities to be able to effectively plan for mission. A mission team is a working group under the church board that helps out in planning and executing evangelism, the evangelism of the church. They have the following responsibilities: the planning of the outreach activities in the local church, budgeting the outreach activities and staying within the budget, evaluating and reporting to the church. This is a mission team. Now, maybe your church has a mission team. I don't know. If your church has a mission team, join it. By all means, join it. Normally, according to, at least to the church manual, the church board is supposed to be the evangelism team or the mission team. But they have so many other responsibilities. You see, they need to be responsible for all these different activities. So it's hard for them to have time to actually make something very constructive. So what you do then is you go to your board, these two people that are on fire or these three people or however many you are, that want to do something, you go to the board, you go to the elders, you tell them, or the pastor, And you tell them that, you know, we want to, if it doesn't have a mission team, if you have a mission team, then try to join it. If there is no mission team, go to the church board and tell them that we would like to start a mission team. We'd like to start a committee that can have a plan for evangelism in the church. And they work always under the board. So you need to cooperate with the board. It's really important. Why is that? Well, I mean, we can do mission on our own. But the purpose is not to do mission on our own, it's to activate the church. And if we're going to activate the church, we need to connect with the board. We need to connect with the system there. So it's very important to get the board on board, so to speak. So the mission team, they make a plan of evangelism. They make a budget for that evangelism. This is also very important. It will give you so much more support if you actually are able to make a budget. Because many people have ideas, you know, oh, I'd like to do this, I'd like to do that. But when you make a budget, then people realize, oh, this person is serious. Because, you know, money talks. It's very true. Money talks. And when the board sees that, oh, you have a budget, this is how much it would cost, they'll be like, oh, really? And then this is actually something serious. So make a budget, make a plan, and make a realistic plan, you know, that you think that the church is able to do. And the church board needs to approve it. So you come with this plan and this budget to the church board, and then you tell them, so this is our idea, this is our suggestion. What do you think about it? And then you listen. Let's turn to some Bible text about that. Proverbs 11 and verse 14. Proverbs 11 and verse 14. Can someone read that?
Where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety.
In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. You can also read chapter 19 and verse 19:20.
And the sad instruction that thou mightest be with in thy letter end.
Okay, so hear counsel and receive instruction, that you may be wise in your latter end or in your latter days. We think that we are wise in our own eyes always, don't we? Many times. And it's good to have a confidence, you know. We shouldn't downplay our own value in that sense. However, we need to be open for counsel. And that's what we need to be with the board. The board will support you. I can guarantee this. The board will support you if you come with a humble, teachable attitude. If you come with an openness to listen to their counsel. They will be so impressed, and you will be wise in your latter days also, as it says. You will be considered wise. And it will go through. So present this with enthusiasm to the board. Say, this is what we want to do. And then you ask them, honestly, is there anything, what do you think about this? Is there anything that you would like to see change or something that we can do better? And you listen to them. And then if they they want to make changes, they say, no, let's not do that, and let's do this, and how are we going to do that? Of course, if people lack faith, they're going to be like, no, we can never do anything. Well, don't be discouraged by that. But just listen to counsel, and if they give good counsel, receive it. And change accordingly. And then you come with a new suggestion and say, okay, we've changed according to what you've told us. How about this? Is this a good plan? And when they approve of your plan, then you need to bring it to the church business meeting. Do you know what the church business meeting is? It's when all of the church comes together and you have a meeting. This is where you need to bring this evangelism plan once it's approved by the board. So you get the board to recommend it and you bring it to the church business meeting. And why? This is very, very important for many reasons. The first is that it gives the entire church the opportunity to come with outreach ideas based on their spiritual gifts. And as we looked at this one, remember? All the different gifts here. And so you might have thought of some of them, but you might not have thought of all of them. So if there's someone else that has an idea, just be open with them. Tell them, okay, this is our plan. What do you think? The second and maybe the most important reason why we bring this to the church business meeting is because we want to get the entire church activated. We want to get the entire church to feel ownership in this program. You understand? Because if they don't feel ownership, they're going to, even though you're part of the, you're under the board, they're going to look at you as the mission team, and they're going to tell you that, yeah, that mission team is doing good work. And then they continue to sit, and they don't do any work themselves. But when they have, if it has been presented to the business meeting, the whole church, and then you ask for a vote. You say, so what does the church think? Do you want to make any changes? Then they say, yeah, we want to make this change or that change. So make some changes maybe. And then you have a majority vote. You have a vote. So this new document, can we approve of it as our evangelism plan? And then they raise their hands. And then it's approved. And once people have done that, they feel ownership. Because now we have decided to do it. It's not somebody else that decided to do it, but they have decided to do it. Then they feel ownership, and then you can hold them accountable to that later on. When you in the mission team, you start making this happen, then you say, now we're going to pass out 10,000 flyers in this community. And so we have all these 10,000 flyers, and as you decided to do this event, you need to be part of helping out, pass out all these flyers. You understand? Oh, I should actually talk about passing out flyers. If we have time. This is very important. So you bring it to the church business meeting, and then when they approve of it, then you can actually activate the church in a way that you couldn't do before, because you can hold them accountable to that decision. So find some friends that are on fire, and then you plan effectively. Make this plan that you have, make it very effective. Remember the Christ method alone? Why don't we say this together? Christ method alone will give true success in reaching the people. The Savior mingled with men as one who desired their good. He showed his sympathy for them. He ministered to their needs and won their confidence. Then he bade them follow me. All right, so Christ's method. And we put this in, of course, you can put it in a different way if you want to, but at least the way we work in our church is we put it into this evangelism spiral and use concepts like this. If you have a better concept, use that. If not, if you don't have any concept, use this concept because it's very effective in helping people to understand how to work according to Christ's method.
On the outside you have the months, right?
Yeah, it's the months. Yeah, you can't see that, but that's actually the different months. So here in January, for example, or if you start in September, this is what you do. You put all these kinds of events, some of them in the contact, some contact events, some confidence events, some conviction events. And then if you continue to do this throughout the years, people will move, and they will move towards the center all the time. And once it's in full swing, this is a very powerful tool. We saw that in Malmö where we worked. It took 3 years until we had actually built up helped the church to really work and to to get this in full swing. And we had success like few other churches have had in many decades in Sweden. And so we praise God for that. But it's His method, right? It's working according to His method. It's not the method in itself that's the miracle pill, but it helps to lead people into decision for Christ. So contact, confidence, conviction, and commission. What are some of the things that you can... These are just ideas. Only, of course, the Word of God and your own imagination sets the limits for what you can do in evangelism. So contact, you can have health expos, concerts, buffets, door-to-door work, lots of things, TV leads. In the confidence, you can have vegetarian cooking classes, health lectures, stop smoking classes, depression recovery programs, family seminars, social activities, Bible study groups, etc. And then in the conviction layer, we have the personal Bible studies, the evangelistic campaigns, Daniel Revelation classes, and making appeals, obviously, to help people make decisions. Then training people. It's an important part. That's the pastor's job. And our job as well as missionary workers. This Bible boot camp that we got at Arise when I was working there. As soon as I got back to the church, we did a Bible boot camp in the church. And all the church members, they came out there, they listened to it. You know, 30 church members came out there, and we were there every day for 2 weeks or something. And they all came out and they listened to this. And then we started working after doing the training. So your first job, really, when you come home, is to train the church, to get it in working order, and then you can do the mission together. So this is what we do in my home church now. So we put these events, you see here? There we have an event, here we have another event, and this is another event. So we have events within all of these things. It's actually, we printed this banner, and we have these sticky note things that we put on it, so that it helps us see, this is what we're doing. So you visualize it, and it helps us understand why we're doing the different events. So it's not just sporadic events that we just do because we should do something, but we have a plan. We have a strategic plan. Okay. Some things to think about. I already said that. Cooperate with the church board and the business meeting. And be enthusiastic and perseverant. When we came to Jakobstad, we started to do this. We planned an evangelistic, we had an evangelistic plan. We had two evangelistic series and the cooking classes and health expos and everything just to get people going in the beginning. First we had a training session for them, and then we started to do evangelism together. And people were excited, they were enthusiastic. And we should be. Evangelism, page 647. You are in need of vital energy from heaven. We must in our work not only strike the iron when it is hot, but make the iron hot by striking it. You know, if we act enthusiastic, we will be enthusiastic. If we don't do that, then we won't be enthusiastic. If we talk faith, Ellen White says, then we'll have faith. So let's talk faith. Let's be inspired. I actually didn't have that quote. Let me read it from this. From the handout. It's from Ministry of Healing, page 497 to 498. It says, "Some who engage in missionary service are weak, nerveless, spiritless, easily discouraged. They lack push. They have not those positive traits of character that give power to do something. the spirit and energy that kindle enthusiasm. Those who would win success must be courageous and hopeful. This is a powerful quote. I mean, imagine that. If we want to do missionary work, we need to have push. We need to be people that are overcoming obstacles. We can never be discouraged with circumstances, but we need to push on. We need to do something. Have the spirit that kindle enthusiasm. Prophets and Kings says that in proportion to the enthusiasm and perseverance with which the work is carried forward, will the success be given. God can work miracles for His people only as they act their part with untiring energy. He calls for men of devotion to His work, men of moral courage, with ardent love for souls and with a zeal that never flags. Such workers will find no task too arduous, no prospect too hopeless. Notice that. No prospect too hopeless. They will labor on undaunted until apparent defeat is turned into glorious victory. Amen. We need to have this enthusiasm, but also perseverance. And perseverance means to not be discouraged when things go bad. Never be discouraged with small beginnings. In Zechariah chapter 4, let's read that and verse 10. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 10.
For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice, and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth.
Who has despised the day of small things? Many times we do, and my church did in where I was working. We did an evangelistic campaign. People were enthusiastic. They passed out 10,000 flyers, and they were so excited. They were like, oh, the whole town is going to come. And they were, some of them, they remember the old times when they used to have campaigns, and so many people used to come. And basically, five people showed up from outside. And this was a huge blowback for them. They were like, what's this? We've been praying. We've been doing all things. Now, for me, I was used to working in Sweden. So when I saw five to eight people coming, I was like, wow, this is a regular amount of people that you actually get. We passed out 10,000 flyers. And if you pass out 10,000 flyers, you can expect at the most 10 people to come from those flyers. It's one person per 1,000 flyers, basically. And most people come through friends' invitations. So, well, we did this, and they were so discouraged, and they were like, oh, it doesn't work to do evangelism. It's impossible to get people to come to meetings and all these kinds of things. But God, He gives us this instruction that we shouldn't despise the day of small beginnings. So I was like, praise the Lord, you know? God gives us these people, and out of those five people, three of them made decisions. Three of them were actually even church members, children. But three of them made a decision for baptism during that four-day campaign that we had. And we studied with them, and some of them were baptized. And the next campaign we had, I hope that they had learned the lesson. So they gathered courage, we passed out the 10,000 flyers again, and then we had between 8 and 10 people come every night. And they were hugely disappointed. They were like, oh, in the olden times when there was war, then this whole place was so filled and packed, and now it doesn't work anymore. I was saying, well, God only gives us as much as we can handle. If we had the whole room filled, we wouldn't be able to do that, to take care of all of those people and do follow up, do the personal effort. But out of these 8 people, two of them decided to study the Bible. And as we began to study the Bible with these people, one of them, he asked, can I bring my wife? And of course I said, yeah. And then so we were two people that I was studying the Bible with. Then they asked, can I bring my mother? And so he brought his mother. So we were three people studying the Bible there. And the other person, they asked, oh, can I bring my wife? And yeah, they brought their wife. And then they asked, oh, can I bring my mother also? And the mother came. So now we had six people that we studied the Bible with, just from that campaign. And this, so we should never despise small beginnings. One soul is of infinite value, not just to God, but also when it comes to evangelism, because they have a sphere of influence that is greater. As soon as you reach one person, this person has friends that they will bring along with them into the truth. So we should never be discouraged. We should be perseverant. However small, this is Testimonies 3, page 217 to 218. However small may be the number of interested listeners, if the heart is reached and the understanding conceived, they can, like the Samaritan woman, carry a report which will raise the interest of hundreds to investigate for themselves. This is so true. If you just have one person on a Bible study, praise God for that. Because that one person can reach hundreds. Never despise, never look through human eyes. Look through God's eyes. While laboring in places to create an interest, there will be many discouragements. But if at first there seems to be but little interest, it is no evidence that you have mistaken your duty and place of labor. Notice that. If the interest steadily increases and the people move understandingly, not from impulse but from principle, the interest is much more healthy and durable than it is where a great excitement and interest are created suddenly. So never be discouraged with small beginnings. And then finally, don't be scared of this bureaucracy in the church, but use it to your advantage. Of course, bureaucracy, I know that it hinders sometimes the labor, but just tackle it, okay? Just go for it. And you will have much greater impact if you actually go through the right channels. Okay, I want to show you one more slide from a previous meeting before we end this. And that was something I didn't have time for before. And then you'll have half an hour break, and then we will we'll have the test.
Half an hour break with the test in our hand?
No. Okay, just this one I want to show you. Do good advertisement when you do an event. You need to have good advertisement. I see you have these cooking class cards, and they look very professional, so very good. Take time, spend money on that. It's worth it. And why it says that we should use every avenue possible to do advertisement for our meetings. Every justifiable means is the exact word she uses. Every justifiable means to bring the message before the people. And she says we should not neglect to put it in newspaper and other avenues of advertisement. And yeah,
we shouldn't neglect.
That means you should put it in the newspaper, you should put it on the website, you should put it on Facebook, you should put it everywhere so that so many people as possible can see it. That's the principle. And so when we pass out flyers, because you know, sometimes people are they're like this, oh, you know, we're gonna have this event, and then we pray that God will bring those who are sincerely seeking. And then no one comes, and then they say that, well, actually no one was ready. Well, maybe they were ready. It was just that we hadn't done the work that we were supposed to do. Sometimes I was in another meeting, and they passed out 2,000 flyers, and that was all they did. They did a campaign, and they passed out 2,000 flyers. And then no one came. And they were like, oh, no, it doesn't work with public evangelism doesn't work in this place anymore. And I was like, well, of course it doesn't work, because we only passed out 2,000 flyers, and you can expect at the most 2 people. But there needs to be so much greater efforts to bring the message out to the people. We need to do marketing. We need to be very good at marketing, because people will judge the message based on our marketing. If they see it's a little handwritten leaflet, come to this meeting, they're not going to come there. They're going to see that, oh, this somebody has spent money on this advertisement. That means it must be actually good. Right? The Elamite says that. Our message, I wish I had those quotes here. But it's important. I could tell you stories. I was in London at a mission to the cities there, and they had some evangelistic campaigns there, and they had passed out lots of flyers, and they concluded also that no, it doesn't really work, people don't come on flyers. But when you looked at the flyer, you understood why the people didn't come, and you looked at the titles. Of course, people wouldn't come to that. It was just a very boring, very cluttery, and not good, not well designed at all. And of course, people are not going to come if they look at that. So we need to be good. Yes.
I had a flyer which I was ashamed to give out.
Yeah. I mean that's not what we should do. So passing out flyers, we need to mobilize. We need to make good design, and then we mobilize the church. And then what we do is we stand up in front of the church, and we tell them that now, yeah, we make a good system of how to pass out flyers. So you have these, you make a binder with maps so that people pass out in different areas, and so they can sign up their names where they are passing out, so that it's organized and structured. And then you also present this to them, that if one person would pass out, okay, here are some examples. We have 5,000 flyers, 10,000 flyers, 20,000 flyers, and 40,000 flyers. Now, if one person passes out 10,000 flyers, let's say that, it'll take 42 hours for one person to do that. That's 2 weeks. Well, that's almost a week of more than 1 week. 1 week is 40 hours, so that's 1 week and 2 hours for one person to do it. But if there are two people, they're 21 hours. Half a week. If we're 10 people doing it, it takes 4 hours. If we're 20 people doing it, it takes 2 hours. You have this? No, you don't have this actually. Maybe. Yeah, in your second handout, you might have it. Yeah, it was there. So, it takes 2 hours, and so you can imagine. You can tell the people. Well, all we're asking from you is that you take 2 hours to go out and pass out flyers. That's all. If each person would do that, we'd have it out by 2 hours. Now, if you're a larger church, and you can get 50 people to pass out flyers, it takes 50 minutes, and all 10,000 flyers are gone. I mean, that's not too much to ask for people, right? So when you tell people, oh, we're going to pass out 10,000 flyers, people will be like, oh, that's a huge amount of work, I don't have time. But if we put it this way, it's very easy. People will be like, well, yeah, 50 minutes, I can do that. And anything is better than nothing. If you're 100 people, it takes 25 minutes. So, many hands make light work.
How are you going to, if you are 40,000 flyers?
Yeah.
And it means one person must give 400 flyers 1 hour and 41 minutes.
Right.
And if you're putting this in minutes, it means you need to give a little bit more than 40 flyers in 1 minute.
40 flyers in 1 minute.
Yeah.
No, it's not 40 flyers in
because
1 minute.
If you have 100 minutes there, it's one hour.
It's
It's 100 minutes. It means you give 40 flyers in 1 minute.
No, it's four flyers, isn't it? Wait, yeah? You divide it by 100.
It's 100.
100 minutes and you have 400 flyers. So that's four flyers per minute. And that you can do if you run in staircases, you put four flyers in 1 minute. That's no problem. Of course, if there's a villa area and you have to walk a long distance, then it takes a longer time.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. That's okay. So, all right. Any questions? I have a question for you then. Will you, when you come home to your church, will you start or will you join a mission team?
Yes.
Is there anyone who would like to do that? No. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to study, and we pray that you will activate us and activate the church that we represent here. And I pray that you'll help us to do that in an effective way, so that we can see entire consecration in so many people, and that the latter rain will be poured out. This is my prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.